There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. All right, another hour to work with, and maybe coming up here in the next few minutes, we'll check in with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Also, a couple things here on my list. All right, number one, that conversation we had with Pete Hutchinson from Landmark Legal. This is I don't know if this is the best argument they have, if it's not a dangerous thing for liberals to go after Amy Coney Barrett. But I'm seeing it through my eyes, right? So if somebody who's liberal needs to tell me where I'm wrong on that. All right, Supermom says, oh, from our conversation last hour, the other side knows exactly what to say and do to poke at Trump's ego. I think he's showing some restraint, thank goodness. Knock on wood. That's one of the things, the Achilles heel of this whole thing, the tax thing, is it may just be a way for them to try to say, oh, look, he's not worth what he says he is. And that may get him to be unhinged. Let's see. Geronimo says maybe New York Times should release their tax records. Yeah. Well, everybody, show me yours, I'll show you mine, right? Also, thanks, Jim. I don't know if this is still going on. It's coming in now. Back up 65 northbound between exit 13 and 15. That's Saraland up there. One lane open. Truck is broken down. So if you've got that's a little bit old. That's 15 minutes old because of my fault, not Jim's fault. So if that's still back up there with somebody, let me know. Yes, Polcat said, Governor Ivey said, I need to stop griping. No, Governor Ivey said that officials, and I'm not official, right? So she said the officials should stop griping. Not me. I mean, the governor already is mad at me. All right. Somebody on board with me on, regressive taxes like food tax must be eliminated. I think so. I've been on that one for a long time. I'll get agreement from people in the legislature, but they'll say there's just nothing we can do to replace that income. Tell you right now, that out of the tax code out there, now I'd like to upend the whole thing, but out of the tax code out there, that's one of those that I think we can get some bipartisan support on, but then again, when's that going to happen? All right. So Larry says, when you give away millions each year to charity like Trump does, including, I believe, the Clinton Foundation back in the day, you get nice tax breaks. Is that true? Dalton, can we... basically, what they're showing in this New York Times story is that the tax breaks are coming. You can have losses and use those losses going forward when you have profit, right? And that's what they're... It's legal. It's used... It's tax code that he didn't write, but it's what they're using to bonk him over the head with. All right. Look down there, and it looks like I've got my friend on. Yeah, he's on. All right. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Good afternoon.
How's it going, Sean?
It's good. I'm just ripping and roaring about Supreme Court and President Trump's taxes and all these things, but it looks like if Alabama was a company or an individual, Alabama would have to pay some taxes, because your lead story in today's email is that Alabama's doing okay here on gross revenue.
Yeah, it's actually, if you went back in a time machine 5 years ago or 10 years ago and said that, hey, we're going to have a pandemic, we're going to have a recession as a result of it, but don't worry, The revenue to the state and the state tax base and budgets are all going to be okay. In fact, they're going to be up. Everybody would have laughed at your face because just going back through history, our state has not really budgeted well. And because of different budgeting practices, and essentially when money came in, we would spend it all at once. And so one thing that the Republican majority came in and did when it came in and after 2010 is institute this rolling reserve account, right? Saying, hey, we're not going to spend all the education dollars we get right when we get them. And now they just passed a bill doing the same thing in the general fund. They've also shifted some taxes around to bring some growth to the general fund. So the result of all that, it's pretty boring stuff, boring budget wonk stuff. But the result is, here we are, budgets are doing very well. It's hard to think about how well they would be doing without the pandemic. But it's a testament to, hey, planning long-term, passing the kind of laws that they needed to, even though they were opposed at the time.
Okay. And the rolling reserve thing, I've liked that. I like it. We've got it at a municipal level here for the city of Mobile, which has caused some consternation from some of the members of Mobile City Council and others. But I like that idea. But let's talk about the money coming in. Let's talk about that side of the ledger. If you say Alabama's gross tax revenue was up 5.3% at the end of August with 1 month remaining in the pandemic-affected fiscal year, we took that trip back in the time machine, and yes, that is happening. Is that how much of that is driven by sales tax collected online? I mean, did we online buy ourselves out of this hole, or is it some of the other streams that came in stronger?
Well, for sure, online sales are up. But one thing that Mary, the reporter, learned from her reporting in this is it's not just online. That was my assumption, too, that it would just kind of take over. But the data shows that retail sales in general are up. So we're back shopping. And that's really important because if you go back to when the shutdown order was happening, I guess it was in April, that really slowed down everybody because only certain retailers could be open and be mm-hmm. doing business. So, you know, when that finally ended, and thank God it hasn't come back, you know, we've been able to get out and shop again. I think the mask stuff is important there. It gave a lot of businesses some, you know, after the shutdown order was finished, some businesses still weren't reopening because they were worried about getting sued or worrying about their business shutting down because of coronavirus. But, you know, some opened up after the mask order saying, okay, well, we feel better about this because we're comfortable opening. So, yeah, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. As a state, we could have fared a lot worse. And if you look around the Southeast, a lot of states are faring quite a bit worse than we are. So, some good news. If just from working in state government several years ago, we hardly ever had great budget news. This is great budget news that even in a tough year, we're doing okay.
Now, I do like that you're pointing out in the story here that the cigarette tax increase helps in this. Ed, just a side note here. The cigarette tax, you were in state government. You were in the executive branch. You were there at the top of this. Cigarette tax, is it to disincentivize people smoking or is it to bring money in?
Oh, it's to bring money in to pay for Medicaid.
Thank you. Because I've said to people before that say, well, you know, they put that extra tax on there to get people to stop smoking cigarettes. I said, then the tax should be $800 a pack. Well, no. Then people stop smoking and go get them elsewhere. Exactly.
Well, that you're exactly right, and that's one thing that was discussed when I was working in Governor Alley's office, because they're looking for, you know, ways to pay for Medicaid and ways to pay for other things. So, you know, do you increase the cigarette tax by 200% or some crazy amount to pay for Medicaid? Well, and the thing is that Medicaid folks didn't want it because they knew that there would be a diminishing return over time. And that maybe it was good in the first year, but over the time that revenue was going away, and they didn't have any revenue outside of that to really make up for it. So even the Medicaid folks did not want the cigarette tax increased.
Y'all hear that?
Astronomically.
Y'all hear that? That's truth right there. Y'all, I mean, that's it's tough for people to deal with. That's truth. All right. So from the making money side of the ledger to the other side here, and President Trump and what is some people calling it bombshell, some people calling it, oh, well, whatever. The New York Times releases some details about President Trump's taxes. What, I mean, what's your, are you sighing? Are you going, oh, are you clutching pearls? What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's not nothing, right? It's not that there's, it is a very big story, and there is a reason why the president has been avoiding this story, right? He's been, you know, trying to keep his tax returns under wraps for years. And there's a reason, because he knew it would be unseemly. He knew it wouldn't look good. And here it comes out, you know, a couple days before the debate. So it's about the worst timing it could have been. At the same time, and that's the real effect, right? The debate is the effect, because, you know, in this debate, they were going to ask about the riots. They were going to ask about law enforcement. They're going to ask about Supreme Court and all these things where, you know, in many ways, Trump has an advantage. Now they have to ask about tax, you know, his taxes, and it's going to be embarrassing. At the same time, I just don't know many voters who are making their mind up based on this. I mean, if you took a poll and said, hey, do you think Trump tried to get out of paying as many taxes as he possibly could have? And he said, of course, that's what people do. So I don't think the effect on the election is quite as big as some of these cable pundits have. The effect will be if he bumbles it in the debate, right? If he doesn't have a good answer or appears, you know, kind of knocks him off his rhythm, and if that's the effect, then that could be a problem for Trump.
All right, we come back. I want to talk about what that rhythm might be like in tomorrow night's debate, and more about this tax situation for President Trump. And we'll do that with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and he'll unveil the secret to getting his email in your inbox 6 days a week for free. But you got to hold on. He'll tell you next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Our guest, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. And if you would like to get the email in your inbox that I keep hitting refresh for in the 8 o'clock hour, they'll tell you how to get it for free, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's free. And now's a great time to be subscribed, because we're heading to the election and there's just a ton of great news coming out. It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. No cost at all, but we'd be glad to have you as a subscriber.
All right. I want to talk about what goes on tomorrow night. So the debate here. First of all, we'll judge it this way. Do you think that the future confirmation hearings with Amy Coney Barrett and what is said and not said in that has more or less to do with President Trump winning or losing in November than does tomorrow night's debate? In other words, is the debate most important or confirmation most important?
Well, to me, the importance is all about Biden. I mean, look at these Midwestern states. Biden continues to be polling very well. It's going to be really close. This election is going to be really close in places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. So you can throw in Florida and Arizona as well. So it's going to be close, and kind of like Trump last time. All eyes were on Trump. Everybody knew how Hillary Clinton performed and was going to perform, but everybody wanted to know whether Trump had the sand to really stand up to her and share the stage with her. Well, he did. He really kind of wiped the floor with her in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now all eyes are on Biden. The reason why, of course, he's been in professional politics for 40 years, but everybody knows that he's had some major gaffes to the point where you look at him and just wonder if he's all there. Things mm-hmm. like, you know, cognitive decline. Maybe, you know, he's slowing down a little bit. And I'm not trying to be mean, but everybody's seen the clips.
Clips. I mean, there's doctored clips out there, but I'm talking about the real thing.
Yeah, and of course they've been keeping him away from the press for the most part. So, look, he's going to be up there for, you know, what, an hour and a half, something like that. There is a major risk associated with this, where if he stumbles around and appears to have, you know, cognitive problems, I think the game is up. Because, yeah, they've been out there touting Kamala Harris as an energetic vice president and everything, but you're voting for the commander-in-chief. So, there were plenty of reasons why Trump could screw this up and have a bad debate and all that. But to me, it all comes down to whether Biden appears to be all there.
I don't know that it... I think the bigger risk is on Biden's part. I'm trying to make sure that I'm not, putting a thumb on the scale here. But if President Trump says, if he goes into making fun or nicknames or attack or whatever, I don't think he loses support. I think those people are galvanized. They're used to it after, 3.5 years. And if Biden comes out, even though he's been there for 4 decades, he's not been in the national spotlight for everybody. And if he bumbles, like you said, I think he's got more to lose.
I agree. And I mean, we all knew this was the case when, a couple weeks ago, or I guess several weeks ago, that people started floating the idea that, hey, Biden should just skip the debates because he was polling ahead and all this. This was what it was about. It was never about polling. It was about, hey, we don't want to risk putting him up there and, getting, Uncle Fluffy doesn't know where he is, that kind of thing. And that, there's a big risk. And when you talk about Trump, of course he's going to jab him because that's what he wants. Mm-hmm. He wants to get him off of his game. He wants to throw him off to the point where he's got to have 2 or 3 trains of thought, and maybe that's tough. So, yeah, I expect more of that from the president, more than he did for Clinton, because, Biden's a little easier target.
Don texts in here and said, if Biden just happens to raise a question about Trump's taxes, perhaps President Trump should counterpunch him with Hunter Biden and his salary, with his tax situation, with the Burisma scandal. I just wonder if that kind of... Well, Don, I understand that would be red meat for backers of President Trump, or it would be something to rally around, for followers or people who support Biden. Both of those scenarios don't take into play that 7 to 10 people that are still undecided in the country, right? I mean, if you're looking at this debate, what do you, between the battles and the name calling and the this and that and the other, where are you going with your messaging to try to get those undecided voters on board?
Yeah, look, he needs an answer. This is why you do debate prep. The president needs an answer on taxes. And in my opinion, it can't be all just fake news and stuff like that, because you're right, that's speaking to the base. In this instance, at least as far as the debate goes, he's speaking to some undecided voters in Midwestern states. That's the whole point. So, I'm sure they've tested some good lines. I'm sure they've, gone throughout the whole gamut of possible responses. And that's why you do debate prep, is to answer hard questions like this. Maybe have, a couple of comebacks too. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea to go after, Hunter Biden and all that. In fact, that could be a good counter, but you can't just counterpunch. You've actually got to accept it. You've got to respond to the question, because it is a huge story. Have a good response and then counterpunch, and then maybe that throws Biden off a little bit.
All right, and as we kind of about a minute and a half out here from the news break, I'm going to ask this question just because it was brought up on Capital Journal. It sounds like really it's not going to happen, but I'm going to get you scored again. Special session for the Alabama legislature.
Well, look, there's just a growing number of lawmakers who believe, yes, it should happen. But the problem is you've got at the very top Governor Ivey, who's the only one who can call a special session, but also the legislative leadership, to include Dale Marsh and Speaker McCutcheon, who just don't want it. And believe that we'll be just fine if we wait until February. I mean, maybe they're right. I'm just hearing a lot more calls now saying, hey, this slate of issues is really piling up, and we're going to have a hard time getting through it all in February.
There we go. Once again, if folks want to get signed up, let's talk about how to do that.
Real easy, just aldailynews.com. Click subscribe at the top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
There he is, Todd Stacey. You be good. We'll talk to you
all
soon.
All right. You too, man. See you.
All right. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Hey, heads up. We'll mention this, talked about a little bit on Jeff's side earlier, but if you're in Daphne or Spanish Fort, or you're somebody who just likes to consume mayoral debates from other municipalities. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Daphne Civic Center. My man Jeff Poore is going to be moderating the Daphne mayoral debate between Steve Carey and Robin Lejeune. And then on Thursday night, October 1st, I'm heading to see my folks in Spanish Fort, Spanish Fort Council Chambers, the debate between incumbent Mike McMillan and Rebecca Cornelius. That starts at 6 in Spanish Fort on Thursday night. So 6 o'clock tomorrow night for Daphne. Go check out that debate, then watch the presidential debate. And what am I up against? Is there Thursday night football? I don't think. 6 o'clock on Thursday night, I'll be moderating the debate between McMillan and Cornelius in Spanish Fort. So heads up there. All right, coming back, we'll grab some phone calls now. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. I know we've been dealing with lots of junk here as of late, coming down from the trees and kind of things that are shingles and those kind of things. But maybe you got other junk. Maybe you've got things you realize could have become a projectile during a hurricane and you want to get rid of them, like stuff outside your house. Because we're always talking about things inside your house, like stuff up in the attic or the junk you got piled in the guest room or all those things. And Train the Crew can handle that. But you got stuff outside. Swing sets, trampolines. It's all you kids start this problem. You have a shed in the back, right, that you want gone, even the stuff in it and the structure you want it gone. They can handle those jobs as well. The nice thing is you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're going to set a day and a window of time to come meet you. And then they're going to quote you a price, and if you say yes, they get to work and get it done. Even if the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was, the price they quote you, that's the price you pay. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. You see their trucks all over? That's what they do. They go to places in Mobile and Baldwin County and get rid of your junk. Think storage units, think your home, think your shop, think your office. You got stuff in your way, you're tripping over it, it's in the way. Get rid of it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You know, this headline, it's Wall Street Journal headline today. This is one when I heard this reported on yesterday. Makes me shake my head. It says, preparations underway for Tuesday's presidential debate. That doesn't make me shake my head. But it starts talking about workers preparing on Sunday at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland that'll host the debate. Then they go into talking about the precautions being taken for rioting to break out during a presidential debate. Does that show you that there's just people are going to riot? They're just looking for a reason to riot. The presidential debate is what's going to cause the rioting? So definitely a shake in my head moment. And on there, also, Dalton, you saw future of TikTok in the U.S. comes to a head. They keep kicking this can down the road for what they're going to do with this TikTok. Maybe this week, if I can book it here, I've got a 15-year-old, and she can come in and discuss the merits of TikTok. Because I may or may not, as the meanest dad ever, say, oh, I can't wait till they ban TikTok. I really don't want anything banned, but I do realize the danger from China, but I don't like us getting in the business of banning things like that. But it gets really quick reaction from the teenagers in my house, so maybe I have fun doing that. Oh, somebody said, for tomorrow night. Yeah, so this happens every time there's a presidential debate. Two things happen. Number one, I will live tweet. Hopefully you're on Twitter, and if you are, you're following us at FM Talk 106.5. It's been something I've been doing for off and on for a decade here, and often it starts with people comparing what beverage they're drinking during the debate. Regular beers, craft beers, mixed drinks, whatever. Some people just have some sweet tea, but we'll often take pictures of our beverages, and then we go into the debate, and I live tweet with y'all during the debate. It's a lot of fun, so make sure to put like a little memo on your phone if you're on Twitter to fire that up tomorrow evening during the debate, and we will go back and forth on social media. So what it got me thinking, though, the Washingtonians 2020 presidential debate drinking game night one. Okay, so the Washingtonian has come out with this, and they've done this before debates, and they said, here's the drinking game. Here's how it works. It said, yep, the first debate between President Trump and Joe Biden is going down tomorrow, September 29th at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 o'clock our time. 7 Mountain, 6 Pacific. With Fox's Chris Wallace moderating. Will either candidate emerge on stage wearing a face mask? And we already know, we can go to that story in a second, there will not be a handshake. Yeah, that's the other part of that. That story came out, that they're not going to shake hands. Breaking with the tradition. And I don't know if this is, they're going to say it's because of, the coronavirus pandemic. They're saying that, not shaking hands because of coronavirus. I don't know if they'll give each other the elbow or anything like that. Or does this just represent two people would rather not shake each other's hand? Right, so there's no handshake tomorrow night. So back to this drinking contest. It says, after it gets started, it's going to be a long night, but there's only one way to cope. Play night one of the 2020 presidential debate drinking game. Before it starts, it says here, these are the rules. Everyone would shotgun a beer. I guess even grandma. And it says the loser has to lip sync to Christina Aguilera's infamous rendition of Star Spangled Banner. All right, so let's look at the words. It says, take a sip when President Trump says huge, says China, talks about his admiration for any totalitarian world leader, makes any false claim related to the coronavirus or the pandemic response, complains about mysterious voter fraud. Hey, how mysterious is that, Washingtonian? We've been talking about this for a year. Not so mysterious anymore, is it? And accuses Biden of wanting to defund the police. That's when you drink, when Trump says that. Then, when Biden uses, says folks, when he references the middle class, when he starts a sentence with look, oh, people are going to be plastered. Tells a story about some average Joe worker he met on the campaign trail that could easily be fabricated. And Dalton, I would say you'd have to take two shots if he tells a story about, what was his name? Cracker Jack? Cracker Jack popcorn? Corn Pop. Corn Pop and the razors sharpening it there on the curb. The Corn Pop story. You probably have to drink the whole six-pack if that happens. Or claims he's going to end systemic racism and fails to explain how. So those are... Then it says, take a sip when either candidate says United States of America. Come on! People are going to be plastered here. Says something inappropriate. People are going to be plastered here. Loses their place mid-sentence and completely changes direction or lobs a direct insult at the other one. And take a shot or finish your drink if Biden's eye starts bleeding. It happened once. It can happen again. Or President Trump describes his financial records in history with the IRS as perfect. So there you go. They're saying those are the rules for the drinking game. We can probably make up our own on that. But that's tomorrow night. I would not do not encourage all the drinking, just sipping lightly on an alcoholic beverage, which you can, you know what, this will work too. If you went to a local watering hole and the debate goes long, looks like tomorrow the ridiculous 11 p.m. alcohol sales curfew, you know, that was adopted by the state to stop the spread of coronavirus, because at 10:30 there was no danger of coronavirus in the bar, but at 11:05 there was. That's supposed to be ended tomorrow night after an ABC board vote. So if you're at your local watering hole and the debate goes long, or those, the commentaries that the cable news networks run, if they go long, you'll still be able to drink. You'll still be able to drink after 11 o'clock. So that's good. Thank goodness ABC board saved us from ourselves with that curfew of no booze after 11 at the bars, but now it's back to freedom, sweet freedom. All right, to the telephones we go at 343-0106, and Roger is in the Bayou. Hey, Roger.
Hey, how's it going there? They also now need to make sure that they allow us to go our full length with the Mardi Gras balls now, instead of that Cinderella Liberty stuff they were proposing there.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if they go. You know, that's good. The tough one on that is ABC could be in the mix, the venue could be in the mix, the state could be in the mix, the city and county. We got a lot of bosses on that one.
You're right. It's really crazy, actually. Now, I wanted to chime in just a little bit on the taxes. You know, you're talking about doing away with the tax on food.
Yes, groceries.
More fair to the poor. Perfect solution would be the fair tax.
Yep.
You know,
but we have no I love the fair tax.
And have a prebate for all the
agreed
needs.
I agree.
Yeah.
But you know what?
And,
here's the problem, then, Roger. Nobody, you and I agree, but nobody else does. I mean, every time this comes up, I love to. They've got a fair tax sign in my office here at work, but I stopped talking about it after 5 or 6 years because, I mean, lots of people say, well, I don't care. It'll never happen.
The politicians on both sides will never do that because that's where their power is. Their power isn't really in much else. It's in being able to write laws that are favorable to their constituents.
Preach.
You know, or their big money backers.
Yeah, and if you couldn't have these ridiculous carve-outs. And listen, y'all, this is on the right and the left. Republicans do it and Democrats
both
do it.
Sides. Yep,
you know, I would love, and I am a proponent of the fair tax. I've just had it beaten out of me over the decades that like I'm the only guy that cares.
I know it is pretty bad. It's just like everybody says it'll never happen, and I'm mighty skeptical myself, but that would be the solution.
It would as well. You're right, Roger. Appreciate the call. And you know what Roger's talking about with the prebate. The way the fair and I'm not getting into a full. I see the things like I'm not going to get into a full fair tax conversation right now, but the prebate addresses that the basics of life, right? That those would not be taxed. And that's just it's just a side note. It's a soapbox I get on clean water, and let's demand more for clean water in our area. These are things that maybe the people who just tuned in and said, well, that Sean, he's going to be, like, I love it when I get an email. Folks like you, conservatives like you, believe all these things, and they list it, and I'm like, do you know me, dude? Maybe some of those I do, and I'm a conservative guy, but on some things I may surprise you. And I think that clean water is bipartisan, nonpartisan. I think that's number one, keeping the out of our water, keeping pollutants out of our water. I think that's what makes life around here. One of the things that makes it so great is the water. Let's keep it clean. And the other thing is, yes, I am a proponent of eliminating sales tax on groceries. It's not like I'm doing something for myself, not like I'm going to try to, I'm getting over on anybody. I'm looking at those that can least afford it. And people say, well, oh, the folks aren't paying for it that are using SNAP. I'm not talking about SNAP benefit. I'm talking about folks that are just getting by, that aren't on public assistance. But, you know, you go and you're paying 10% on those groceries. That money really means something. Really means something. State of Alabama tells me, just kind of almost like the fair tax conversations, folks at the state say, well, that's all well and good. I agree with you in premise, but there's just no way we could replace that revenue. So let's move on. That's what they do. All right, let's go to Fireball in Mobile next. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, Sean, how you doing today?
Man, I think I'm all right. I hadn't checked in, but I think I'm good. How about you?
Ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
About the taxes. Now, Trump is a businessman. He wasn't a politician. He was a businessman with all kinds of money. Don't you think he had lawyers that handled his taxes for him?
Yep.
And any businessman is going to do the same thing that Trump did, get by when he can.
Yeah, they're going to use the tax code that President Trump did not write, that members of the legislature that are still there, they wrote, but President Trump didn't write that code.
That's right. That's right. I got one more thing, Sean. When's the last time you bought a Sunday paper?
I don't. I do everything online. I do not, yeah. I'll consume the information, but I don't buy the paper.
Well, I normally buy it on Mondays. I drive a dump truck, and when I have to sit, I can read the paper.
Right.
I went in and bought the Sunday paper this morning. $6, Sean.
What?
$6 for a Sunday paper.
Did it come with some free aftershave and a sample of Crown Royal or what?
Sean, I don't know because I didn't buy it.
Is that what the paper costs?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm out of touch.
I buy it right there at the Shell station in the Forks of the Row of Wilson Avenue.
Yeah.
And that's where I buy the paper because I stop there in the morning to get what I got to get for the day. And she said, have you bought the paper lately? I said, no, ma'am. She said, it's $6. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not buying it now.
Six?
Yes.
Holy crap.
It's plumb ridiculous.
Well, that model that you know that they said, well, we're using a different model now in newspapers. If that model now is charging $6 for the paper, I don't think that one's going to work either.
I know, I don't either. But I'm going to let you go with that. I got
Thank
two
you, Fireball.
Words for you.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
I got three. Roll Tide, roll. All right. $6. It shows I've not purchased a paper. I consume the product online, but I've not. Wow. You almost can't let the dogs crap on it for that, really, could you? I mean, for $6, yeah.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 154 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Monday. Feinbaum on the way. Lots to talk about after. Man, was it nice to see SEC football in the mix. Real nice. Enjoyed that a whole bunch. From the text line here, hey, Bob, thank you. And Bob, if you're new to this, I was country when country wasn't cool. I was census when census wasn't cool, but it's been nice over the last few months to watch other people coming on board. But Bob says, please remind about the census. Only a few days left. Alabama is still behind the rest of the country, as we are, Bob. I mean, this part of this, when we lose a congressional district and we lose money to the state and we lose a voice in Washington, we have a diminishment in that voice. And somebody walks up to you and goes, wonder why that happened. I'll have to sit down. I'll have to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. But Bob, it was going to end at the end of this month. At the end of September. But there was a ruling last week, and we'll get into this more on tomorrow's show. A judge ruled that there's an extension, and it's going to October 30th. Now, I shouldn't say that. I should say that the deadline is Wednesday. You know, one of those things, not like I've ever done this before, but maybe you have a spouse that's not always timely, and you're going to the... Y'all call me and say, okay, Sean, we're going to have a cookout and everybody needs to be there at 7. I'll say, we have got to be there at 6:30, honey. We have got to be there at 6:30. 6:30 is when the starts, and then we get there about 7:15. I could use that guess that Wednesday is the last day for the census. Forget what I just said about October. Y'all get it done. It's not y'all, though. I know it's not y'all, but just make sure family, friends, enemies, whatever, fill out their census. This is a big deal for our state. A big deal. All right. So Chris and Daphne says, has anybody looked into Joe Biden's history for voting on the federal income tax? I have not, Chris. I'm sure somebody has. I have not. So I can do that as part of my homework for tomorrow. Also, that traffic still bad, 65 Saraland. That's there between exit 13 and 15. At least that was about 10 minutes ago. So keep an eye on that. A couple people saying that that's still bad. All right, so that was 65 at between 13 and 15. I guess it was it northbound? See, I'm losing that here. Where's Kane? Okay. Where's Kane? You listen? Oh, yeah. Another one Brandon adds in on the drinking game. If Biden says, you know the thing, we're all going to be plastered on that. Are bars hosting the debate? I don't know any that are, but they should. I don't know. Oh, people talking corn pop. Thank you, Backstrap Stacker. Corn pop was a bad dude. Remember, he'd like take his... If y'all have no idea what I'm talking about, Dalton's talking about, Backstrap Stacker on the text line's talking about, go Google Joe Biden and Corn Pop. Go watch the Joe Biden and Corn Pop. It's gold. It's gold. All right, and a couple other... Yeah, so we'll be live tweeting. I we'll start about time the debate starts. Somebody asking about that. So we'll start that. Also, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue in Baldwin County right now. Maybe get an interview with him coming up. I know for sure we're going to get Rick Pate, Alabama's Ag Commissioner, back on to talk more about what Baldwin County farmers have suffered. Even Mobile County farmers and Monroe County farmers have suffered from Hurricane Sally. That's another kind of a side story going on with that. All right, and Dalton, are you going to talk in depth about Tennessee tonight on Sports Night? How many segments of Sports Night will be based around Tennessee's performance? Dalton? Dalton? He's not coming in. Dalton? All of them? Okay. Just checking. All right. We'll see you all in the morning.